All right. Until now, I had not yet commented on the U.S. Supreme Court tariff decision, striking down Trump's emergency tariffs as unconstitutional. And of course, Trump had tried to, well, assert executive power through the IEEPA, which is, which frankly, that law doesn't even mention tariffs. But Trump twisted that and just assumed power in his hands alone to say that one man gets to determine all tariffs and can enact tariffs and change the numbers, you know, the percentages, and then retract tariffs without any congressional approval, without any review, without any oversight whatsoever. That was what Trump has done. And that is illegal, according to the United States Supreme Court. And they're right, it is illegal, and the tariffs have been extremely damaging to America and our economy. And we need to step back and first cover one very important thing here, which is the realization that tariffs are taxes on the American people. Now, this should be self-evident, because if I go to try to import something, and my company imports lots of things, if I try to import something from, let's say, Italy, and at one point I was trying to import some automation machinery for the warehouse that was about $1 million. And we actually got the cost estimate, you know, the potential invoice, and it said, okay, here's $1 million for the machine, and then here's $300,000 you have to pay for the tariff. So we, the importer, pay the tariff. That is always true. So there are a lot of Trump supporters still, or MAGA people, who falsely claim that no, the exporter pays the tariff. Well, that's just a shell game. Ultimately, the importer pays the exporter for the tariff. Because, of course, the exporter is not just going to eat a 30% or 50% or more percentage loss on their product. Of course, it's a pass-through situation. So, of course, the importer pays the tariff. Always, the importer pays the tariff. And that means that those costs are passed on to American consumers. So whatever the tariff is, that gets refactored into the prices that you're paying. And thus, it's a tax on the American people. And it's intellectually dishonest to argue in contradiction to that, to say, no, tariffs don't raise prices on the American people. In fact, the Trump administration itself has confirmed that tariffs raise prices on Americans, because at one point, they decided to reduce tariffs on lumber and, what was it, furniture and furnishings in homes to help lower the cost of building and furnishing new homes. So right there, that's an admission that tariffs increase costs on American consumers. Because if they didn't, then how could you lower those costs by reducing the tariffs? So you can't have it both ways. You can't say, well, tariffs do not increase prices on people, but we're going to reduce the prices that people pay by reducing the tariffs. See, that's illogical, as Spock would say. Illogical, Captain. Doesn't make any sense. So yes, the tariffs were always taxes, and it was always bewildering to me to see Trump and Bessent arguing that, this is basically free money for the U.S. government. We're going to raise so much money on tariffs that we're going to be able to actually maybe cancel the federal income tax. You won't have to pay any taxes because it's all going to be paid by these foreign companies. Well, that was always a lie, because the American people were paying for the tariffs indirectly the whole time. And of course, they never canceled the federal income tax. The IRS is still functioning. And thus, you're paying both taxes. You're paying the federal income tax and you're paying the tariffs. But even worse than all of that is the fact that the tariffs, the power over tariffs in the hands of one man, arguably a crazed man, who weaponized those tariffs to bully the world, to threaten and coerce our allies, slapping tariffs on India, because Trump didn't like India buying oil from Russia. So, we're going to slap a tariff on you, and then slapping a tariff on China. which he had to walk that back last year because China said, oh, okay, well, then we'll just shut off all the rare earths. And Trump's people said, ruh-roh, can't do that because we don't have any other suppliers. So they had to walk that back, and they did a deal with China. But Japan was hit with tariffs. Taiwan was hit with tariffs. I mean, they're still in effect. And all of Europe, practically. I mean, the EU hit with tariffs as well. So Trump is punishing U.S. allies. And furthermore, Trump's initial claim where he said these were going to be reciprocal tariffs. Remember when he had the Liberation Day announcement? I think it was April of 2025. Trump rolled out this big chart and said, well, these countries are charging us, you know, 87% and 60% and 35%. And we're just going to match what they charge. And at first, he tricked me too. At first, I was like, well, yeah, if they charge us those tariffs, then we should just reciprocate the same tariffs. And then we found out over the subsequent days that Trump was lying, that those countries weren't charging those tariff rates, that they had come up with some kind of twisted trade imbalance calculation, and then they just called it a tariff. So they were lying from the very start. And it wasn't Liberation Day. They should have called it Taxation Day because it inflicted all these new taxes on Americans. It's been a disaster ever since. This is why supply chains are so disrupted. This is why it's hard for you to get car parts. This is why prices are going up on everything. It's because of Trump and his catastrophic tariff policies, because Trump is not an economist. He doesn't understand anything about economics beyond, you know, real estate deals. That's his wheelhouse. Maybe golf courses and hotels, but not international trade and tariffs. So the real issue with this is that it's dangerous to concentrate this power in the hands of one person, regardless of who that person is. Because Trump weaponized it, and he used it to threaten and coerce allies and competitors, or even strategic enemies like China. And there was no oversight. And in many cases, there was no sense to the tariffs. It was just whatever Trump felt like today. And if some country didn't bow down and, you know, kiss his feet, then he would slap them and another 10% for you, you know, be gone. And so this is how you ended up with various Arab states. I think, was it Qatar that gifted him like a $400 million luxury jet or something? And this is how he was able to coerce all these other countries into these, investing in building plants, Trump calls them, you know, factories in America, like drug companies. He would say to them, well, you know, we're going to slap a tariff on all your imported drugs. I forgot the number. Maybe it was 30 or 40 or 50%. But he said, but you'll be exempt if you build drug factories in America. And you might say, well, that's great. We need a president to protect American jobs. We need to build plants in America. Well, the problem with that is that you can't just set up a factory absent a whole supply chain of all of the precursor chemicals. So, you know, it's not the same thing. You can't just set up a factory and say, oh, we're going to make aspirin now or whatever. You need precursor chemicals, and most of those precursor chemicals come from just two countries, China and India, the very two countries hit hardest by Trump's tariffs. So the materials you're trying to import into America to run the factory in America that Trump says he wants, you're being punished on your import costs because of Trump's tariffs, which means it's always going to be cheaper for India to manufacture the drugs themselves outside of the tariff punishment, or it's always going to be cheaper for China to manufacture the drugs themselves. So Trump made sure that you can't be competitive manufacturing these things in America if any of the components of your products depend on importation from essentially any country in the world, because Trump slapped tariffs on everybody, virtually everybody, even some island populated by penguins, I think. They named that, even though there's no trade with the island. It's like penguin feathers or something, who knows? So now that this has been struck down, in my view, this is the pivot point of the Trump administration. And from here, it's all a downward spiral of political doom. This, in my mind, marks the beginning of the end of this Trump administration. And depending on where he goes with this, I wouldn't be surprised if he's impeached. Wouldn't be surprised if he's actually removed from power by the Senate following impeachment. And I wouldn't be surprised if he is criminally indicted, and along with his family members, for all their insider trading shenanigans, not only involving tariffs and commodities, but also crypto. All that's coming probably in the years ahead, because it looks like Trump's support has collapsed in America. Support for the war on Iran is down to only 29% now. The support for Trump among independent voters has collapsed to about a similar, maybe 30% or lower. Same thing among Latinos. The only group really supporting Trump at this point are Christian boomers, who I guess will just support him no matter what because they think God told them to or something. But those groups don't represent, I mean, the Christian boomers don't represent enough of a voting bloc to win elections. Through his tariff policies, Trump has alienated business owners. He's alienated consumers and lots of other groups that previously had voted for Trump. Even there were a lot of health freedom people on the left who believe in clean food and believe in herbs and they oppose vaccine mandates. They voted for Trump because RFK Jr. was part of the package. And those people are now watching Trump basically jump in bed with Bayer and grant all this federal protection for glyphosate, a toxic weed killer chemical that was developed on research that traces back to Nazi chemists in the 1930s creating nerve agents like VX and sarin gas. Trump hasn't done anything to win the trust of the voters, and he hasn't kept his promises. The one thing he's done is he has stopped most of the cross-border traffic, and that is significant. That's one big thing. But beyond that, everything's been a disaster. Even the ICE operations have been a disaster. You know, the tariffs, the economics, the debt spending, the wars, a total disaster. And Trump hasn't stopped the vaccine mandates. He hasn't pulled the mRNA jabs. He hasn't defended freedom of speech. He hasn't gone after big tech for all their censorship against people like myself and others. So he hasn't kept his word. And the question is, what's left for people to vote for? And the answer is really not much. Not much at all. I think right now, Trump overall across America, Trump's overall support is probably in the 20s, like 25 to 29%, something like that. And it's going to keep collapsing. And because the Supreme Court ruled against him, then this takes away one of his most important weapons for, you know, threatening foreign countries, but also for insider trading and enriching his friends, like, well, I don't want to name names, but you can imagine who are the money people, who are the handlers, who are the people close to him who always have insider information, whether it's 9/11, you know, or the fact that new tariffs are going to get slapped on copper and all of a sudden they have all these copper options, you know, all kinds of insider trading taking place. Well, the Supreme Court just took that away. Just took it away. So the law that Trump invoked right after that is called Section 122 of the Trade Act of 1974. And this allows him to impose a 150-day tariff of 10% on the entire world, which he immediately invoked, almost out of spite, to say, well, I'm just going to punish everybody with 10%. So this is this law talks about temporary import surcharges. And again, it expires in 150 days without a congressional vote to extend it. That would require both the House and the Senate. And the Senate is not likely to extend this because I believe they would need 60 votes, and they don't have that. They may not even have half the Senate. This law has never been used by any other president, and lawsuits are already flying to challenge this law. But if you think about it, all these importers, China, India, you know, whoever, their tariffs, you know, Vietnam, don't forget, their tariffs just plummeted from 50% or 30% or whatever it was to 10%. Now, China has another 10% on top of that because of some ruling blaming China for fentanyl, I believe. So there's a, I think China's at 20% in the aggregate. It's, don't take my word on that number. Definitely fact check it if it matters to you, because these numbers keep moving around. And I'm not entirely certain what the final number is on any given day, because, you know, Trump changes his mind all the time. So who knows? That's the other problem here, is that it creates unpredictable business conditions globally. And it stops investment in production, in factories, in transportation, infrastructure, etc. Because you never know if Trump's going to wake up one day and go, you know, batshit crazy again and just say, oh, I don't like Vietnam today. You know, 60% for you, because Vietnam is still a communist country, which it is. Nobody knows, because it's all down to one person whose mental state is highly questionable, let's be honest. So that's the problem with having this power concentrated in the hands of one person. So anyway, right now we are beginning this 150 days. After that, the 10% will expire. But Trump says he's going to use other laws. He probably said, they're big, beautiful laws, you know. Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1974. There's also the Trade Expansion Act of 1962, Section 232, but that only allows you to slap tariffs after a Commerce Department investigation to try to prevent dumping of things like steel, aluminum, or automobiles, or semiconductors, whatever. Section 301 is a fair trade type of law, and it's supposed to be able to counter unfair foreign trade practices. But that also requires an investigation. But those tariffs have been placed against China, and those are in place. So Trump says he's going to have accelerated Section 232 and Section 301 investigations because he really wants to slap more tariffs on everything. Because, I mean, at this point, it's really economic terrorism against the American people. This is a trade embargo against us. You know how in World War II, the U.S. Navy blocked oil shipments to Japan? That was a trade embargo against Japan. Today, Trump's tariffs are a trade embargo against the American people. So Trump is waging economic warfare against us, not against China, not against India. It's against us. We're the ones that lose the supply, have the disruptions, and end up paying the fees. And if Trump says, well, he's just going to cut off trade, which he's threatened to do, he's going to cut off trade from some countries, well, it's an act of war against the U.S. economy. And that's an impeachable act. And I'm wondering if Congress might move, you know, the House might move to impeach Trump at that point. Because it's like, well, how are we supposed to function as a nation, as an economy? How are we supposed to make anything? How are we supposed to have anything to sell in the stores if you, President Trump, you're just cutting off trade with countries that make the stuff, while we here in America, we don't make much anymore? So that's the situation with tariffs. It exposes the dangers of the concentration of power into the hands of one person. It exposes the utter dishonesty of the Trump administration, twisting and distorting existing laws that were never written to push tariffs, such as the IEEPA, you know, an emergency invocation that was never written to push tariffs. And then Trump twisting that and distorting it in a way that harms the American people, but enriches the people in his circle and his family members, or whoever had foreknowledge of the tariffs that he was about to slap on certain countries or certain commodities. So, you know, it really smacks of insider trading or corruption or whatever you want to call it. Somebody's making a fortune off the market swings on this, and Trump's the one making it swing. And the Supreme Court just said, stop. You can't do that any longer. So that's done. But the policy was disastrous, and the impacts on the U.S. economy are going to be felt for years to come. This is not helping us. This is hurting us. You know, as a simple example, I mentioned earlier that we were trying to import equipment from Italy for automation in our warehouse for e-commerce automation. Well, I guess according to Trump or MAGA people who don't actually run businesses, they would say, well, you should buy that equipment in America. Yeah, you don't think we checked? Nobody makes it in America. It's nobody. It's not available. Not even close. There's nothing like it. That's almost always the case when it comes to automation equipment or food manufacturing equipment or auto packaging equipment. Almost none of that is made in the U.S. There are U.S. companies that sell those products, but they're mostly imported from either China or South Korea. Now, sometimes Japan, sometimes Europe, but it's all imported. So you can't say, well, you should buy American. Yeah, I would have. Nobody makes it. And also when I'm buying turmeric, for example, you know, we sell a lot of turmeric products at our online store, healthrangerstore.com. You know, we have lab tested turmeric and hundreds of other products. I mean, you know, we do heavy metals testing, glyphosate testing, in-house testing, and we sell ultra clean turmeric because turmeric's very often contaminated with lead. And in some Southeast Asian countries, they actually add lead to the processing of it. That's why lead ends up in turmeric very frequently, which makes it look more orange too, by the way. Just a little side note. But we buy turmeric from India on a frequent basis. Why? Because that's where it's grown. You know, it's like, did we try to find it in America? Yes, of course we did. Who sells turmeric in America? Like bulk supplies. Importers who import it from India and other countries. and China grows turmeric too. We tend to buy it from India. You know, we found good suppliers that we trust, and the test results come up good all the time. So, you know, so Trump's tariffs made it more expensive for us to buy turmeric from India. We had to pay those extra fees, which means ultimately you pay those extra fees. Now, we've tried to hold our prices down as much as possible, but this, you know, you can't operate for free. You have to earn something on the product in order to stay in business, obviously. So effectively, Trump's tariffs made you pay more for our turmeric because it comes from India. You know, we get our non-GMO vitamin C from the United Kingdom. Same thing. Non-GMO vitamin C, which is not derived from GMO corn, is very, very expensive. It's like 300 or 400% higher cost than the GMO-derived vitamin C from China. And then now we have to add on to that what was like 30 or 35% because of the, you know, the tariffs on the UK. It's like, oh, so now you have to pay more for vitamin C because of what Trump put in place on these tariffs. You know, I interviewed John Roy from Dawson Knives several times on this issue. The steel that's used in his knives, MagnaCut steel and CPM, other types of alloys, that steel used to come from America because there used to be a steel factory in, what was it, New Jersey or New York that made this domestically. But then that company, I think it was in Syracuse, that company couldn't make a profit any longer. They couldn't compete. And so they got bought out by, what was it, either a Swiss company or a Denmark company. One of these European countries bought that plant, the steel plant. And then they stopped making the MagnaCut in America, and they only made it in Europe. And so now the really amazing high-quality knives that Dawson Knives makes in Arizona, you know, three generations, family business, handcrafted, hand-ground, everything, but you got to get the steel. The steel now comes from Europe with the extra tariff. And at one point, that was going to be an 80% cost increase. Now, apparently now that's going to be a lot less. But you see what I'm saying? You know, some of these knives, which had already been in the $300 or $400 range, they were about to go to $700 for one knife because of Trump. So you can't tell me that the American people aren't paying the tariffs. Of course they are. Of course they are, in price increases. It's a tax on Americans. And all that extra money goes into the pockets of Trump and Bessent and Lutnick and all these people who are sitting on these billions of dollars that came out of the pockets of the American people. And they're celebrating it. And whoever is still gullible enough in MAGA to cheer this is just beyond hope. I mean, why are you cheering Trump stealing money out of your pockets while telling you it's not a tax? I mean, talk about a psyop. My God. Well, there's another term for it, but I'll avoid the profanity. That's why the Supreme Court decision may have actually saved America's small businesses and saved America's economy from Trump. Trump is a destroyer of the U.S. economy. He's proven it. And the people around him are destroyers of abundance. They don't create abundance. They siphon it off of you and me and other American people. They are pillagers. They are the looters of our society. And that's all they're there to do, is to pillage and loot as this country, you know, goes into a destructive spiral from which it probably will never emerge. So we are in the pillaging stage of the last chapter of the U.S. empire. And as part of that pillaging, Trump used tariffs. So, see, the Supreme Court actually saved us in this case. I don't agree with the Supreme Court on everything, obviously, but in this case, they made the right call. And also, Trump's use of that law was clearly unconstitutional. Clearly. So we'll see where it goes from here. Trump appears to be determined to punish the American people, to embargo all of us, and to cut us off from the rest of the world in terms of importations and supplies and equipment and whatever, herbs, you name it. So things are going to get dicey here as long as Trump or people like him are in power. They are the disruptors of trade. And I even wonder now, all these other countries and corporations that promised they're going to build factories in America so they would get preferential tariff treatment, now I guess they're going to say, well, never mind, because you can't even run those tariffs anymore. That would be hilarious. I mean, seriously, isn't that what's going to happen? The lawsuits are already beginning to fly. All these companies that paid these tariffs are going to be lining up to sue the U.S. government for refunds. Where's the refund money coming from? Where's that coming from? Well, that's going to come ultimately from taxpayers. So, you know, it's all a giant con. Trump is a con man running a con. And the people around him are just co-conspirators in the con. We've all been conned. I mean, that's the upshot. We've all been conned. And we have to work hard to try to earn our way back to cover the losses that Trump has inflicted upon us. That's just the straight up truth of the matter. That's where we are. So let's hope either one of two things happens. Either Trump regains some level of sanity and stops waging war against America, or that he's removed from power. And somehow something better happens, because we're on a path of total economic destruction here. This is going to end badly with the collapse of the currency, the collapse of the banking system, and many other ramifications, including mass poverty and homelessness, etc., civil uprisings, you name it. That's where this is probably headed. I don't want to see any of that, but we have to be honest about where it's headed. So anyway, that's my assessment. You're free to agree or disagree, obviously. I do want you to know that I have America's best interests at heart here. I want America to do well, which means the American people have to do well. And we are not doing well. The American people are hurting. Costs of everything are rising. Food, insurance, housing, you know, automobiles, you name it. Costs keep rising dramatically. Electricity, you know, for God's sake. People are paying, in some cases, you know, double the rates that they paid just 2 years ago for electricity. The American people have to do well for America to do well. And right now, the American people are not doing well at all. And a lot of this is due to Trump's policies. So again, he either has to change his course or be removed from power. And I don't think he will change, because I think, once again, he surrounded himself by a bunch of highly destructive people, including Susie Wiles and others. He's not going to change, I don't think, which means he's headed for a path of probably impeachment once the Democrats win the midterms. That seems likely. But a lot could change between now and then. It's only February, right? A lot could change, so we'll have to wait and see. In any case, thank you for listening. I'm praying for America. I want the American people to do well, and I don't want power concentrated in the hands of any one person, regardless of who it is. I want to help keep costs low. I want to encourage American small businesses to be able to be successful, especially when they have to import parts in order to manufacture domestically, which is what we do. We are a manufacturer, but we have to import, you know, commodities or supplies from various countries in order to make things. Even just to put vitamin C in a bottle, you got to have the bottle. You got to have the lid. You got to have the sealing equipment, and you got to have the vitamin C, and you got to have the capsules. You got to have the equipment that puts the vitamin C in the capsules. All those things I mentioned come from different countries. None of them are available made in America. Not one of them. Well, maybe the capsules are. Maybe the capsules. But the other ones, no. Nobody makes bottles in America. Polyethylene bottles, no. It's all made overseas. So at least nobody makes it competitively. I'll say that. And they don't have the assortment of sizes and things that we need. So I want America to do well. And thank you for listening. You can catch all my other videos at brightvideos.com, including my interviews, my analysis, etc. And you can read my article about this topic and other topics at naturalnews.com. So thank you for listening, and God bless America. Take care.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.